Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to today's show. It's a Tuesday show on Thursday, and I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Bend, Oregon, with my sister Julie Dolan, who's in Dallas, Texas. Julie, hello. How was your 4th of July?
Hey,
how you doing?
This is really fun to have you on the Tuesday show on a Thursday and in Bend, Oregon, Liz. Mm-hmm. How about it?
Mm-hmm. It is nice. Well, you know, it's the 7th day of the rest of my life, Julie.
Okay.
This is it. I'm giving
You already sound more relaxed, Liz. You're talking slower. It's just great, Liz. Keep it up.
Thank you. But I still, you know, I need some Tuesday tips about what the proper approach is to a Tuesday show. So even though it's a Thursday, we're behaving as if it's a Tuesday. So naturally you have Tuesday trends to share, right?
Yes, I have some excellent trends. I want your opinions on these. I have three different ones. I think two are just, I don't know. And there's one very solid trend that I can really get behind. So that will be good. I have a stay noisy story for you, Liz.
Excellent. Yes.
I know this is a campaign for you. We have somebody who's making a little noise, and I think we need to give her a shout out.
Okay. All right. And I am going to be crowdsourcing advice about what to do with the rest of my life. So hang on for that later in the show. I have a specific assignment for listeners where I need them to apply the hive mind, as they say, Julie. I need to
What's
get
that?
The hive mind. Do you know that phrase?
No, I don't know that, Liz.
Okay.
You're sounding a little managerial, so just back it off a little. I mean, we usually don't have assignments on Tuesday, but okay, just a little tip. Okay,
okay.
Carry on.
The hive mind is just a fancy hipster digital media blah 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 trend, a word for sort of putting it out there on Facebook or Twitter, like, hey people, where should I go to dinner in, you know, Chicago, or does anyone know like the best computer for blah blah blah? Or so it's sort of a fancier term for crowdsourcing information, but the hive mind, Julie. So, I mean,
so is it a verb? You see, I need to hive
mind. No, it's a noun. It's a noun.
Okay. So
it's
I'm going to use
much,
it a lot.
Yeah.
I like
pretty
it,
much exactly the same thing as the Satellite Sisterhood.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just you use it if you are younger and hipper than we are. And you don't have a Satellite Sisterhood to turn to for things. So, I'm going to get the hive mind started on something. But first, I thought I'd just fill you in on life in Bend, Oregon.
What are you doing up there, Liz? What are you doing?
Well, I got here on the 3rd of July. Ferris and I had a very nice drive up from Southern California. So we got here in time for the pet parade on the 4th of July, which was nice. Though, you know, he's an older citizen now, sort of a veteran of the pet parade. So we did not walk the whole route, but we did go and observe. So
that seems totally legitimate. And does Ferris enjoy seeing the other dogs in the parade or not?
Yes.
Oh, he does. Okay, good.
No, he does. Actually, when we were sitting on the porch of my house, which is not far at all from the parade route, like we weren't going to go, but first a guy pulled up with a trailer and unloaded a horse and two goats to go to the pet parade.
Okay. That's good.
And,
that's good.
You know,
people bring their A game to this parade.
Yeah. So first the horse and two goats went by. Then a guy went by with two turkeys in a red wagon.
No way.
So that's when we decided we had to go.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm fine with a lot of the range of, you know, but there's a whole section of the parade that they just call odds and ends.
So
like the turkeys would end up in the odds and ends. Unfortunately, though, also in the odds and ends are people who have like snakes. You know, where they're like wearing a giant snake around their neck.
Okay.
But
that is odd and they should be at the end. That's what I think.
But yesterday was a classic Central Oregon Day that involved three classic Central Oregon activities. One is, you know, this has become what they call the Ale Trail, Julie, here in Bend. It is a town that is just busting with brew pubs.
I can't believe how many are there, Liz. Yes. I mean, there didn't seem to be that many people in the town of Bend, and just everywhere you turn, there's a brew pub or there's one of those bicycle brew pubs, or, you know, there's just a lot of brew drinking going on.
Yes. But see, we did not do the brew pub. We are not into the ale trail, but we were into the alternative beverage trail, which is, of course, the tour of the kombucha factory.
What is that, Liz?
Kombucha, you know what kombucha is, right? It's I don't even know what it is, but it's a thing. It's like a fermented beverage, kind of good for you. I don't know why, whatever. There's a brand of kombucha that's brewed here in Bend called Hum. And so I have guests who are here for the holiday. My friend Robin, who you know, and her husband Brian and her son Oliver. Well, Oliver is a big fan of the Hum kombucha. So yesterday we made the discovery that Hum kombucha is actually made right here in Bend, Oregon, and you can go on the kombucha factory tour. So that's actually where Robin and Oliver are right now, on the kombucha factory tour. So I think if you're here in Bend and, you know, your kids are not of beer drinking age, the fact that you have an alternative beverage tour that you can take is a good thing. That's sort of a classic Oregon activity, number one.
I've never had kombucha. What would you say is the, what does it taste most like?
I think it tastes like dirt.
Okay.
But apparently they have now all these new flavored kombuchas, because Ollie was saying, like, he's got a favorite kind of a lemonade flavor that he likes. And, you know, it's better, even though I thought it was just like a, you know, a hippy dippy beverage that didn't have any sugar or anything in it. Robin was explaining to me last night that it actually has almost the same amount of sugar as a Coke. But it doesn't have a lot of the other things in Coke that would be bad for you. So it's sort of, it's become kind of the soda alternative for the Oregon set, you know, I'll find out more when they get back from the tour. And then I'll tell you, no doubt
they'll have some kombucha facts for you, Liz.
I'll tell you next week. So that was activity number one, is discovering the kombucha factory tour was available and getting that booked for today. Oregon activity number two was, of course, kayaking on the Deschutes River.
Liz.
We stepped it up from the normal, just like floating on the river in the inner tubes.
Yes. Okay.
And so I'm going to tell you more about that, you know, in a second, because that there was a classic rookie mistake that I made that almost blew the whole day. But I'll get to that. But then the third classic Central Oregon activity I found myself doing at the end of the day yesterday, and that was putting this into Google, Julie. Imagine I'm in my backyard. I have my laptop on the Wi-Fi, and I'm Googling this phrase, drugs that smell like skunks.
What?
Because every time we've been in my backyard this over the long weekend, you know, all of a sudden there will be a strong whiff of something that smells like a skunk.
Yes.
I've never seen a skunk around here. Yeah. And because this was now going on like 5 days of skunkiness, I was like, this really can't be a skunk that's just here for 5 days. Like, and I had already, you know, Ferris and I had toured the whole perimeter to see if there was a dead skunk somewhere. No, so
far. Well, I mean, they're sneaky skunks. They don't come out in the daylight either, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's a skunk, Julie. It's a skunk.
No, okay. But it's got a, you've got a definitely so my old, got a skunk smell. Yeah. That sounds very nice for your 4th of July vacation to have a big stinking backyard. Okay.
Well, it's just whiffs of it every once in a while, but it's a strong smell. So I thought, well, other than a real skunk, what else has like a strong smell? And it's usually drug-related activity, I think, you know, particularly in the neighborhood where my place is. Because
You immediately, you don't think it was flora or fauna?
I do not.
Okay. You think somebody is smoking something or cooking something.
Exactly. And I thought, okay, let's just see, you know, because in my neighborhood, I'm in the oldest part of Bend. And it's kind of up and down in this neighborhood. Like there are some houses like mine that have been like fixed up, but it's 100 years old, but it's been like fixed up and they're cute little bungalows. But then like down the street or across the street, there's always like the cute little bungalows that have never been fixed up. Right. And they're sort of the more ramshackly aspects of the neighborhood.
Suspicious. Did you have suspicious bungalows? Go ahead.
Yes. Say it. You know, usually the clues are there's a couch on the front porch and, and prayer flags up. Mm-hmm. That marks the suspicious house. But most of the prayer flags in the neighborhood are gone now. But the smell was making me think somebody in the neighborhood might be cooking something.
Okay, and Liz. All right. So, I just did not think that you were going to take up being a DEA agent in your new life. But go ahead, Liz. Okay.
No, here's the thing.
What did you find?
I Google it because I'm thinking, I was worried that it was like methamphetamine. That maybe meth smells like skunk. But no, you know what smells like skunk?
What?
It's marijuana that they call skunk. There's an actual type of marijuana.
No way.
That's called skunk. Because guess what? It smells like skunk.
And so that sounds really fun to do, right? That you would want to smoke something where you smelled like skunk the whole time?
I don't know.
I don't get that.
But it's, okay. But, and of course, it's legal in Oregon now. So I don't have to be a DEA agent because, okay, if it's methamphetamine, then I might have had to like report something to the authorities. But it's just someone in my neighborhood is either consuming a very large amount of skunk or drying a large amount of skunk. I don't know what it is, but that's what I think. There's a pocket of activity somewhere here. And I'm hoping it's seasonal that, you know, maybe there's some harvesting going on right now. And by next week, I'll be able to sit in my backyard.
Liz, you got to step it up. You got to just do neighborhood surveillance. Find out which of these suspicious houses the skunk pot smoking is going on, and you got to leave a note or something. Say, "Hey, I'm your neighbor, and your skunk pot is stinking up my backyard. Yours truly." You know, that's
I don't know.
What
you can you do that about totally legal activity?
Yes, I mean, Liz, if my neighbor was like, you
smoking
know,
a cigar or
barbecuing or smoking cigars. And all of it was, you know, coming into my backyard, I would, in a very nice neighborly way, you might not, you know, just say you might not be aware, but your skunk pot is coming over the wall and it's kind of ruining my backyard. Okay. I mean, they probably don't know, you know,
or don't care. They're probably more in the don't care category.
They could be, but you got to step it up. Okay. You can't, do not take that lying down in your chaise lounge, Liz, there. You got to step it up.
I'm a little bit more in the live and let live category, I think. So I'm going to give it another week or two.
Let's just examine your behavior. First of all, you said you were going to unplug and get away from all that. But what are you doing? You're sitting in your backyard Googling things, trying to find out what the stinky skunk smell is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I think you could write a nice note. I mean, a very civil note. Okay. You know, because the air belongs to everyone, Liz. You can tell them that.
Okay. I'm going to work on that. Let's check back in on that next week, okay?
Okay.
Next Tuesday, we can talk about that. So our kayak trip, I have to tell you about this just because I'm such an idiot. So with my friends, we decided we were going to kayak a section of the river. And the reason we were doing the kayaks, the inflatable kayaks, instead of like the big inner tubes I already had, is the water this early in the season in the Deschutes, because it's all snow runoff, is super duper cold.
Okay.
So we decided staying in craft where we would be dry would be better than, you know, the sort of half swimming, half floating that you do in the inner tubes. But also the good news is, Julie, you're going to want to know this. We have a nephew who's in this business now.
We do?
Yes, we do. Yep. Oh. So our nephew Leo, who lives here in Bend, Oregon, has a job this summer at a place called Sun River Toy House Toys.
Okay, sounds good.
Or as Leo said to me, Leo just finished his freshman year in college. Leo said, "Aunt Liz, it's a place so fun, we have the word toy in our name twice."
Okay, that should be their logo, right? Right there.
So he said, just come up to Toy House Toys. We'll hook you up. We'll get you all hooked up. So the four of us go up there, and we get the two inflatable kayaks. But first we have to figure out, as you know, because you've occasionally done river trips.
Yes.
You have to figure out where are you putting in and where are you taking out.
Right.
Right? And you have to have transpo from the takeout back right. to the put-in.
Yes.
Because obviously you're leaving stuff at the put-in. Hang on 1 second. I just got a warning from our Skype recorder. So I'm going to, okay. All right. I think I'm good. Okay. So we figured out, you know, with some texting back and forth to, you know, Toy House Toys, that if we left my car at the takeout mm-hmm. and then took Robin and Brian's car up to the put-in, well, first we have to go to Toy House Toys, pick up our toys, and
right.
then they can just take us to the put-in, which is only about a quarter mile from Toy House Toys. So we get this all worked out. We drive together to the takeout point, leave my car there. That's at a place that's called a marina, which it's a very grand use of the word marina.
Okay.
It's sort of a little spot on the shore of the Deschutes River where you can just run your kayak aground if you want to. But there is a like kayak dude there to help people in and out. So we leave my car at the takeout. We go up to, you know, the place so fun. It has the name Toy. It's the name twice.
Toy House Toys. Okay.
Toy House Toys. So Leo gets us totally hooked up. We've got the inflatable kayaks. We've got the paddles. We've got the, you have to wear the life jackets. We're good. So then they take us down to the put-in. And we launch our crafts. It's delightful, totally delightful in every way. We're floating along. It's Brian and Oliver in the one kayak and Robin and I in the other. Brian is a very serious fisherman, much like
okay.
your husband. So he's mainly commenting on the flies, the water, how the water is eddying. You know, he's basically scoping out potential fishing activity and fishing spots.
Sounds good.
Robin and I are not paying attention to that at all. We're just catching up on the world and on life, and that's great. So we float down the Deschutes. We get down to, you know, the takeout, the so-called marina.
Yes.
And if you miss the marina, by the way, your next stop is Benham Falls. So they're like, make sure you pull over at the marina. So I would like to say to the people who are running this operation, maybe a sign would be good.
Uh-oh.
Because there's no marking for the marina. But
they don't have a sign that says, take your floats out here. Because a lot of times when you float down rivers, they have really clear signs about that. Because that is a fear for anyone floating on any river that you're going to miss the takeout.
You're going to miss the takeout.
Yeah.
And you're going to hit the falls. Well, no, this is more of a live and let live operation, Julie. It's like pretty much up to you. To like figure out where you're putting in, where you're taking out. And like, if you go over the falls, well, that's a bummer, but not our fault.
Okay.
So anyway, Robin knew where the takeout was. So we pull over at the takeout. Dylan, the kayak dude, who is like Leo's age, he's there to help us out. And he has to like punch our parking ticket. And so I go to my car to get the parking ticket. And I realize...
Uh-oh.
Yes, you know where I'm going with this.
Oh, Liz.
Car keys
are up at the Toy House.
In the other car. Exactly, Julie. Yes.
Oh,
like, how stupid is that?
Oh.
How stupid is that? So my actual car. So we go to all the trouble to, like, be positioned perfectly at the takeout, except for the critical thing, which would be the keys to my car.
Oh, gosh. So what'd you do?
So then I have to text Leo up at Toy House Toys.
Okay. But you have your phone, but just not the keys.
Exactly.
Oh. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Yes, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Because I had painstakingly put my phone into double Ziploc bags. Yeah. So I had it with me just in case I wanted to take any pictures. So I text Leo. And I'm like, dude, I'm really sorry. I made like such a stupid mistake. He's like, hey, don't worry. You know, people do it all the time. Do not worry. I said, where do you want me to come get you? I said, I'm at the takeout. He's like, I don't really know where that is. And I'm trying to explain. How do you explain where like a wide spot in the river is? He's like, I don't really know.
Can he GPS you or something? Well, I mean, he's 18. He has a phone. Okay. Yeah, like, they can do everything.
Here's the way it worked, Julie. This is where I learned a really critical skill, which you may already know because like you have children that you've been closely monitoring their whereabouts for many years, but I don't have that. So he just kept saying, just send me a pin, Aunt Liz. Just send me a pin. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, just the pin on the map. Just send me the pin. I'm like, what? So then I have to get Dylan Kayak Dude because I figure he's also 18.
Yes, you have the two dudes talk to each other.
Exactly.
Good thinking, Liz. Good thinking.
So, and I'm like, Dylan, I don't understand the send a pin thing. He's like, oh yeah, I can tell. And it's just like, literally, you go into your text messaging, there's a thing there that you can say, send my location. And it sends a pin. So you probably know this.
Yes.
I have never used that feature. I didn't.
But now you have, Liz, right?
Now I have. So I send the pin to Leo. He comes and gets us. It all works out fine. It was actually, you know, quite a learning experience on many, many levels. You know, the put in, the takeout, the positioning of the cars, the positioning of the car keys, and the learning about the pin. So it was a very fun afternoon. Not quite as relaxing as
but I think here's the good news, Liz, is you have the rest of your life to smooth out this little activity.
Right.
So by the time that, you know, other sisters or brothers come to visit you and you offer to take us kayaking,
yes,
you're going to have a very smooth operation. Okay.
Totally.
That will be good.
Especially because we have our own family member at Toy House Toys.
Yes, like, that's good.
What could be better than that? So, So that was yesterday, and it was a learning experience and a semi-delightful day on the river. We did not go over Benham Falls, and we managed to get my car back. So there you have it. That was day 6 of the rest of my life.
Well, that's good to have an adventure and to have some learning, Liz. Mm-hmm. So you're off to a good start.
Mm-hmm. So today is day 7 of the rest of my life. And for those of you who may have missed a couple of episodes, the last day of June was my last day of work, like on my job, went in, gave them back my phone, my laptop, my office keys, my badge, and my credit card. Just wiped the phone and the laptop, left everything else on my desk, and just walked away, Julie, just walked away to start a new life.
Good list.
But as you know, I have attempted this before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. You walked away from another like very high profile corporate job. Yes. Walked away. Yeah.
So that was when I was 40.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I left my job at Nike and to go get a life. Right. And that's mm-hmm. when we were just starting Satellite Sisters.
Exactly.
So I thought I'll do a little Satellite Sisters and then, you know, then I'll have a life in my spare time. But Satellite Sisters turned into kind of a big thing, didn't it?
Yes, it did, Liz. We've had some big moments at Satellite Sisters. Yes.
There was a time where Satellite Sisters was live 3 hours a day, 6 days a week. So that's like a real job. And we were all doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. But anyway, we did that. And then from there, I got sucked back into corporate life. And the next thing you know, I ended up where I ended up, which was a fine place to end up, but it needed to end. So this is my second try at mm-hmm. kind of stepping away from corporate life and getting a life. And our sister-in-law, Laura, sent me a very funny text message on the day that I stepped away that was a picture of Michael Jordan. And she said, he's also tried several times to retire. So you might want to get some advice from Michael. But here I am. Now I'm asking for advice from the Satellite Sisterhood, because haven't you been impressed at the quality of the positive support I have gotten in this radical change of my life?
Yes.
In our Facebook group and just across our communications?
People are applauding your decision. Many people, it has, you know, inspired them to think about their own lives. People who have already done it ahead of you, Liz, are just telling you, come on in, retirement is great. You know, they want you to know that. I think half of the Satellite Sisterhood is moving to Bend, Oregon, from it appears from our Facebook page. But many, many people are applauding your decision, your location, and they're all for you, Liz.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have a piece of information I want to share, and then I have the assignment, which I know is inappropriate for a Tuesday, but given that it's a Thursday, I'm doing it anyway. So the piece of information is this. I've been trying to, you know, part of my getting a life is not being so tethered to the digital environment and Facebook and Twitter and your phone and all of that. So I've been trying to like do things. I got a piece of advice from the Satellite Sisterhood to just take the Facebook app off my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Just take it off your phone. You can always check in when you're home. So I've done that. And I'm testing that out as a life strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But also I have found in the short 7 days that I've been testing that, that right now it's just driving me to spend more time on Twitter and Instagram.
Because you can't.
Because I'm addicted.
You're addicted. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But the good news about the addiction is that, again, with the help of the Satellite Sisterhood, I came up with the hashtag that I am using to describe all of my experiments in my new life. So I have been using this on Twitter and on Instagram. If you check out hashtag Lizness, not business. So Lizness, not business. If you look at that hashtag on Twitter or Instagram, you will see, I'm going to try to do like just one daily update, Julie.
That's plenty, Liz. Okay, yeah. Don't set a lot of unrealistic goals again.
Yeah.
You're trying to like relax a little, chill out this summer. Yeah, I think that's good. Instagram's great. I love to look at the pictures, and that will be good.
Did you see that beautiful short video I got of our brother Dick and me on the boat on the lake?
It looked delightful, Liz. Very nice. Keep the videos and pictures coming. Yes.
So hashtag Lizness, not business. Anyone who wants to contribute anything on Twitter, you know, use @SatSisters, but then hashtag Lizness, not business if it's a particular piece of advice for me. And that way I'll be sure to see it. So I'm working on that. But here's what I need. And you used the word, Julie. And so I'm just putting it out there that I need a word other than the R word. I really don't think of myself as retired.
Right.
But I don't know what I think of myself as. And I have until the end of the summer to, I think, come up with a new word for my new life, because I'm not retired.
Right.
But I said I'm taking the summer off. So this summer, I don't have to explain anything to anyone. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm just off this summer.
Yes.
And that's designed to just tell people, like, back off. Don't ask me any more questions. But like once Labor Day rolls around, I'm going to need, like, what's the word for what I am if it's not retired?
You're Liz. You don't need anything else. But if you feel like you do need something else, I suggest that perhaps you consider like one of your many interests or hobbies, you know? Okay. You're Liz. Hi, I'm Liz. I'm a kayaker. That could be the way you introduce yourself to people. Okay. Hi, I'm Liz. I'm a dog trainer. You have Ferris. He's a dog. I'm an older dog trainer. That's a specific category. I'm an older dog trainer. Okay.
Okay.
That's, you just need some kind of, you know, something that you're interested in, Liz. Okay.
Yes.
But
yes.
You can't say, hi, I'm Liz. I'm a Facebooker, or hi, I'm Liz. I'm a Twitter reader. No, that's not going to be good.
Exactly.
You're going to have to go with one of your activities that you enjoy. I think that would be good.
So this is what the assignment is to the Satellite Sisterhood. It's more, I'm open to any suggestions. So any descriptor of like what I should call myself after Labor Day, like taking where Julie started, just build on that, people. Build on that hive mind. And let's see where we end up by Labor Day. And just post that in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. Or again, you can tweet it or put it on Instagram with the hashtag Lizness, not business. Like what's a word other than, so I don't even know where to go.
You don't like retirement, Liz.
I don't.
Okay.
No.
I agree. It doesn't fit you.
No.
I don't think it fits many people in our generation. I think many baby boomers really reject retirement because it sounds like you're sitting around.
Yes.
And most people our age are not sitting around. They're very involved, you know.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I wrote about this in our latest book, You're the Best, because, like, for you, this third of your life, is so much of it is about your grandchildren, right?
Yes. That's very important to me. I am, you know, I do introduce myself as Urban Nana all the time. Yes. Yeah. I'm happy to.
And I would say many baby boomers, so people at my stage of life, they are parents. And so this is the time of life where they are likely to become grandparents. And I look around and I see with many of my friends and my siblings, that's sort of one of their number one things they're using to define themselves now. Obviously they do a lot of other things, but they really want to tell you about their grandchildren. And, but that's not going to be me.
Yeah,
I don't have any children, so you can make the leap that I'm not going to have any grandchildren. children.
I think that's pretty safe. Although it could happen, Liz. You have it. It's all out there in front of you. Everything, everything is possible. Okay, so that's the assignment.
Yeah.
You would like a new moniker. You just something, some way to put on. It won't be a business card, but on your on your card where let it indicate what you do.
Yeah. You're just the cocktail party answer.
Yes.
The elevator descriptor.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That just the with the goal being to just kind of shut people up too, because
you don't
just like what is going to shut down the whole conversation about who you are.
So, I'm a walker. Just say you're a walker, Liz. That's it. That's good. I mean, don't overthink it. Well, Liz, I have something that caught my eye that I just thought, now this is something that Liz now has time for and something that she's qualified for, although I think our younger sister, Leon, is probably the most qualified of all the Dolan sisters. But this is at the Conference Center at Fordham University. And this is the Padea Institute's annual Living Latin in NYC convention, Liz. This is a 2-day convention, 2 days of lectures, classes, and conversations. And guess what, Liz? They're all in Latin. Now, you studied Latin.
I
studied Latin. And this was put together by Jason Pettacone. He's a 34-year-old professor of classics. And he has said, hey, listen, no, even though, you know, people say Latin is dead, he says no language is intrinsically dead. It's all about how you treat it. So he is trying to
bring back Latin.
He says that, you know, that this is a very, you know, this is a great language. It's challenging, but it can be super fun. And so everyone who attends this conference, they have to speak Latin. And guess what? People think it's cool to speak Latin, Liz. So what do you think? Do you think this
Oh, my goodness. I'm just picturing the people who attend. I mean, that is fascinating to imagine what the range of people who would show up for that would be.
Well, some of it is, you know, is classic professors, which you would not be, which are in classic students, but it's also other people as well. And this, this annual institute, it's 6 years in existence. So it started in the first year, they had just a $50,000 budget. Okay. That was just, who knows where they got that 50 grand, but now they have a $2 million budget. Okay. And they offer 6 different live-in Latin courses, Liz. Okay. But you don't just have, I just think about it. They also are trying to do events where they recruit inner city youths to participate in this as well.
Wow. So,
you know,
that does sound like something I would have time for.
You'd have time for, Liz. I think it could be fun.
But I think you're right. Leon is the target audience.
Leon
was an actual classics major in college.
Right.
We got finished with all of our Latin in high school. She actually carried on.
She carried. But they had 150 people were there. And of course, many of them were wearing black T-shirts with Latin phrases.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they were wearing black jackets because they're all like really old priests.
No, they're not priests. They're young guys. These are people. They're living Latin. Okay. Latin is not dead. Okay. Just remember that. It's very inspiring. Okay. Okay. It's undead now, Liz. Okay. So maybe you could be part of that.
Maybe I could. Yeah. That's a long shot. You got to admire the ambition of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, something else that I know has been on your list for a while and something that you feel very strongly about. I don't know that I can put it in an occupation, but you've been outspoken, Liz, and you've always spoken out when you have seen incidences of sexism, and you in fact started the hashtag Stay Noisy, as far as I think you were the first to do that. Is that correct, Liz?
I think it might have even been Leon who was the first.
Okay.
But I quickly grabbed it and have made it my own.
Well, Liz, you had an incident where you were serving on a board of directors and you felt that you were being unfairly treated, that they were not considering your point of view and your opinion primarily because you were a woman and you spoke up about it. That's correct.
Yes, I did. Yes. Right. And that doesn't happen very often, but occasionally you just got to go out and you got to do it. It's really hard to do because you end up getting blackballed in a lot of environments for staying noisy in that way. But yeah.
Well, I want to do a shout out today to a Fox reporter, Fox host, Gretchen Carlson, who spoke out. Yesterday, she filed a sexual harassment suit against the Fox CEO, Roger Ailes. Now, we must...
Fox News CEO,
yes. Roger Ailes. Mm-hmm. Now, Liz, let's just clarify. You no longer work for Fox, and right. even when you work for Fox, you never worked for Roger Ailes or no. that organization.
So the news organization is totally separate from like 20th Century Fox and Fox Sports and all the areas where I worked. But you're right. It is part of the larger corporate entity, which is 21st Century Fox. But Roger Ailes runs Fox News and always has and maybe always will. He looks like the kind of person who lives to be 1,000.
Okay. Well, I get news. I consume news from a wide variety of sources. I do watch Fox News. There are three people on Fox that I like. I like Megyn Kelly. Mm-hmm. I like Greta Van Susteren, and I like Gretchen Carlson. And I like these women because they're all very serious about what they do. They're always really well prepared. They ask really good questions. And they are not, you know, they do not necessarily fall into a conservative commentator point of view. Okay. Mm-hmm. These are hardworking women. Now, unfortunately, Gretchen Carlson for many years was for many years, she was the co-host of their morning show. And she was a co-host with two gentlemen. That show, because of the two other co-hosts, not Gretchen, was unwatchable.
That's where one of her co-hosts was.
Steve Doocy, because he's.
Him as Steve Doofus.
Okay, so Steve Doocy. Okay, it was just an unwatchable show.
Yeah.
But I always liked Gretchen Carlson because she was always prepared. She always, like, if she was interviewing someone who wrote a book, she had read the book. If she was doing a difficult topic, she had read the notes. She had done the research. She didn't wing it. And no matter what she was feeling about those two co-hosts, she always had a very sunny and positive disposition when she was doing that show. So I had always respected her. So yesterday's, and then she moved off of that show, and she's had for the last year and a half or so an afternoon time slot where she's done a show. So she filed a sexual harassment against Roger Ailes because apparently she went to Roger Ailes to complain about the disparaging treatment that she was receiving in the newsroom. Specifically in the suit, it indicated that Steve Doocy was constantly making sexist remarks, was condescending to her, was not cooperating with her, had done things physically on the set to like hold her down but stop her from making a comment while they were on air. So she really felt that Steve Doocy and this whole environment was not good. And she went to the CEO, Roger Ailes, to complain about it. And his response, Liz, was that he said, well, he really felt that what would improve the situation, and there's a quote in her suit where Roger Ailes is, where allegedly, according to Gretchen Carlson, he said to her, I think you and I should have had a sexual relationship a long time ago, and then you'd be better, and I'd be better, and it would be easier to solve problems that way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I saw the headlines about this, Julie, but in my new life, I just did not read the story. But
yes.
Wow.
This is a woman who has had won all kinds of awards. She wrote a book. She's a former Miss America. She went to Stanford University. You know, she's like a concert level pianist.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Gretchen's a real deal. Okay. So, And so she went in a professional way to complain about it, and that was the response. So you do know, as I can assume as well, that now that she's filed this lawsuit, you know, she made the decision, you know, that, I mean, she probably will never work in television again because she's done this, you know, but she felt like she needed to speak out on this issue. She felt like she owed it to her other colleagues and to her, you know, to young women around the country, because she sees herself as a role model. She takes that very seriously, and she filed the suit.
Yeah.
Liz, you know, we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
You know, I will admit that I have a bias here, that I am always very likely to believe these sorts of claims just because the price you pay for making them is so great. Why would you do it if it wasn't true? You know?
Right. So, I mean, she could go to another network and get a job, right?
If
they canceled her show, but she could go somewhere else. Her reputation, her on-air performance is really strong. Yeah.
Right. You don't need to go out in a blaze of glory. You can just go get another job.
Right.
And so if you feel strongly enough about the way you've been treated and sort of, you know, calling people on it, it's a risky, hard thing to do. I can tell you, my phone hasn't exactly rung off the hook offering me other jobs on boards of directors of publicly traded companies.
Right.
You know, on the one hand, you know, being noisy is good. Everybody says that's what they want. But in real life, it's incredibly inconvenient to work with people who call you on your, you know, inappropriate possibly illegal behavior.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting that she chose to do that at this stage in her career. That's good for her.
Okay, yeah. So we want to, you know, a little shout out to Gretchen. Stay noisy, and I'm going to be watching this to see what happens to this case and where it goes. Because you're right, Liz. It is a very bold move on her behalf. You know.
So she's off the air now.
She is off the air now. Yes. Yeah. So she's off the air.
Yeah. So they're probably saying, "Oh, she's just disgruntled. She
exactly
got fired." Like, yeah. Yeah, that's always
that's what that's exactly what their press release was, that she was disgruntled and she was on, you know, the lowest rated show at Fox or something like that. You know, even though her show did better than any other cable show in that time slot, you know, they still put it out in a disparaging way. So,
okay.
Well, all right. So we have to, that was a little heavy for Tuesday, but I mean, given the topic of Stay Noisy, I felt like that was very.
No, I think it's appropriate, Julie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, now let's dial back, Liz, because we like to, on Tuesday, as you're learning about the Tuesday show, we like, Leanne and I, from time to time, like to, reference scientific reports, research about that may or may not be useful. It may or may not be true, but there's something in it that sounds fun and interesting. And so we get on a bandwagon. So here's the headline of the research, Liz, is that storytelling, the ability to tell stories like your kayak story,
yes,
that is actually good for you, Liz. Did you know that?
Well, I know it's like such a buzzword in the business now that everybody believes their business is really about storytelling, but I didn't know it could actually be good for me.
Yes.
Like,
no,
in what
it
way
actually,
is that good for me?
Well, it is, because research shows that the way people construct their individual stories can have a large impact both on their physical and their mental health. That people who frame personal narratives in a positive way have much more life satisfaction than people who feel like, woe is me, the world is coming to an end, people are always, you know, putting me down. So, so that if you, you know, if you take the, and then within a relationship, your ability to tell a story to another person can be very good, you know, because that way you are engaging the other person, you're getting their attention, and this is all very, you know, it's a way to connect with other people. Yeah, rather than just more transactional business, you know, like, oh, I walked the dog today, or, you know, I took the trash out, or blah, blah, blah. You know, if you can tell a story, you're connecting, you're sharing emotionally, and that's very good for you. How about that?
Okay. Well, so how would that manifest in, like, your day-to-day life? So,
well, yeah. I mean, in fact, they said for married couples, it's very important to take the time to tell some stories, because I think, if you live with anyone, you know, a lot of times the conversation you're having is more transactional.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I'm not making a big story about taking the trash out,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, if I sit and listen to my husband tell a story about something that happened in his day, or I tell him about something that and he listens to me, that can be both empowering for the storyteller, and it also it's very good for the listener as well.
Okay, I buy that. It feels like the listener would understand the other person better.
Yes,
if there really is a sort of a beginning, middle, and end, and you're kind of getting more context around something that is important to the other person.
Right, because it feels wonderful, is their word, to tell someone your stories when you're first becoming sort of closer or intimate to them. You know, that's a wonderful thing, you know, to be able to share that and to, you know, if you say, oh, well, I met someone and we just talked. There really was that connection, you know, that deep communication is really good.
Okay. I'm thinking I have a concept for what I'm going to call myself after Labor Day.
A deep communicator? What is it, Liz?
Storyteller?
Storyteller.
Or does that sound like I tell folk tales around the fire?
Yeah, well, that does do that. And there are people that go to all kinds of conferences and they do that. And if you don't think you're good at telling stories, indeed, you can go to a conference and learn how to become a good storyteller, you know.
Oh, okay.
But I think certainly something along the communication lines. Yeah, that would be good. Okay. So something like Storyteller might be possible. Mm-hmm. So keep
I like
that
it. Well, I'm glad to know it's scientific.
Yes, I mean, it is scientific. Well, sort of, Liz. Okay, don't ask a lot of follow-up questions, okay?
But that it used to just be called, like, the gift of gab. But
yes.
Now it's scientific proof that just, you know, telling a story is a good thing to do. I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Julie.
Okay, with that in mind, I have a book recommendation for everyone. It's called Approval Junkie by Faith Sally. And this is Adventures in Caring Too Much. Now, you know who Faith Sally is, right, Liz? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you hear her sometimes. She's a frequent panelist on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And then I think she's on like CBS Sunday Morning occasionally. She pops up here and there. You know, she's kind of a storyteller, Julie, I would say. And so she had a new book out, which we found out about because her publicist asked if we wanted to read the book, did we want to talk to Faith? So I said, yeah, we might be interested in doing that later this summer. So you actually got the book and you read it.
I read it. And here's what I'm going to say. It's got great stories in it. That's what you're going to love this. Okay. It's just chock full of great story. Great. She's a good storyteller and she has great little stories in here. So apparently Faith Sally has some personal happiness, I think, in her life because she tells a good story. And if you like a good story, you're going to like this book. It's called Approval Junkie. And we're going to talk to her later in the month of July, right?
Yeah, I loved the title. I didn't know anything about the book at all. I just know her from hearing her on the radio. And I thought that title really appealed to me because I think so many women are approval junkies. We
right.
work so hard, just try to get everyone to like us all the time. So, okay. Well, okay, I have a copy of the book here, so I'm going to read it too. And yeah, we'll do that. Okay. I'm glad
people
you read it.
People can read along at home. Okay. Well, Liz, it's Tuesday and I have some Tuesday trends for you. Okay.
You, because otherwise I would feel like we were really letting down
Tuesday
people.
Okay. So here is the first Tuesday trend. And this was brought to us by our Facebook group. Okay. You can check it out. You can Google it right now, Liz. And these are redneck boot sandals. Have you seen these?
I saw this posted.
Okay. These are cowboy boots / sandals. And if you're listening, wherever you're listening, okay, just stop and Google cowboy boot sandals and you can see what these are. These were developed by a guy named Scotty Franklin, and he was lounging on the Gulf Shores in Alabama. And I don't know if you've ever been there. Have you been to the Gulf Shores of Alabama?
I never have. No.
Okay. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. And as you move over into Florida, the Destin area, gorgeous beaches. They call it this area, Liz, lovingly, they call it the Redneck Riviera. Okay.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What this area. So Scotty Franklin, he's there on the Redneck Riviera. And he kind of realized that, you know, that people didn't want to sacrifice, you know, cowboy fashion, which is there's something just really cool and sexy about cowboy boots, right?
Yes,
whether a man is wearing them or a woman is wearing them, cowboy boots are sexy. They're cool. But you know what? In Alabama on the Redneck Riviera, it's hot, you know? And so people also wanted to wear sandals. So he just thought it would be really fun and silly and a great way to sort of combine the two. So he made up a pair by himself and he sort of glued it and stapled it together. And lo and behold, now this is a thing, Liz, redneck cowboy boot sandals.
So is it a thing because he made a few prototypes or is it a thing because people have actually bought them?
People
and
like
wearing
Liz.
Them?
People want to have fun, Liz. You know? They're fun and they're silly, but deep down, everybody wants to have fun. Okay. And like, if
I'm looking at these, they still look pretty hot and sticky though. Wouldn't you say?
There's too much leather around the calf of your leg. You
right.
know, that if it's not here in tech, you know, today it's like 97 here in Dallas. So, it would be tempting to put on a pair of the cowboy boot sandals, but I don't think so. I'm not going to go there. No. Okay.
Yes, I'm on Google right now. I Googled redneck boot sandals and then clicked on images and lots of different choices of styles.
Yes, you see that. You can go all different ways. So, but I don't think so. But it might be a novelty item. You could wear it to a Halloween party. I don't know, you know, just, or a concert. I could see. Like you could, you know, if you were in some fun, silly mood and you were going to a concert, you might put on a pair. Okay. How about this, Liz? Best friend tattoos. You have some very good friends, Liz.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about getting matching tattoos?
No, never. It never once ever has even crossed my mind or been even a subconscious thought.
No, you didn't want to get like matching little flowers, maybe two, matching wishbones, bird.
I know guys who have done that, like with their friends or with the, you know, I have a friend who like the father and all the sons got the same tattoo. I've seen that happen before. I don't know. None of my female friends have ever done that, like a sort of group tattoo. But this is a thing.
Yeah, best friend tattoos. Yes, people want to do this. Yeah, and I have many good friends that I just love. I love
you. You are a good friend to your friends.
I try to be, Liz. But if my best friend or my good friend friends ask me to get a tattoo, the answer would be no. I'm out. I'm going to get some new friends. Like, what is the matter with you? No, I'm not getting a tattoo. The only tattoo I would ever get is the Olympic rings if I won a gold medal. But
I like the fact that you've already thought that through. That's a real enough thing for you that you've made that decision.
Yes, that's it. That's it. But best friend tattoos, no.
No, no.
Okay, all right.
I'd be interested to know if we have listeners who have already done that. Like the temporary tattoo when you're at a party together, I'm, totally down with that. But permanent no, I'm with you. Okay, Julie.
Okay, third trend, and I think this is just great news. It's a whole category of clothing that's called adaptive apparel. And this is that finally manufacturers and designers are beginning to design clothes both for children and for adults that have disabilities. Okay, so like Tommy Hilfiger, whatever his
figure,
name is. Tommy Hilfiger.
Figure
has just come out with a line of clothing for children that has like easy close magnetic buttons or adjustable seams, because there is nothing worse, if you have a disability or if you're a caregiver, if you are trying to get someone dressed, just the simple act of dressing.
Yes.
And people can't do the buttons. They can't do the zippers, and this is one of the things that keeps you independent as you get older. I mean, for our dad, that became a real thing. He could no longer dress himself. And I just think that this is great that, regardless of the disability, that they have a number of designers and manufacturers that are really working on this. And they figured out that, just because you have a disability doesn't mean you don't want to wear cute clothes.
Exactly.
Okay?
Right.
So Walmart has a whole line of adaptive jeans that can be reachable, or that, they have pockets at different angles. They have another organization called Care Zips, and these are slacks that are, that have three zippers. So there's one on each side of the leg and then one sort of in the crotch area, so that you can, if you're lying down or if you're, if you're in a wheelchair or you have very little mobility, that you can take your clothes on and off, much easier. I thought this was a great thing, and a lot of these adaptive apparels were developed out of a lab at MIT called an Open Styles Lab, where they had groups of engineering students and fashion design and occupational therapy people all working together to kind of address how to make clothing that would work for a variety of disabilities.
That is really fantastic.
I had not heard
anything about that, but
it's
a
Tuesday
trend,
Liz. This is where you hear things like this, okay?
Yes. Okay. I mean, it would obviously give you a level of independence that, anyone would really value. not having to be so dependent on someone else to get dressed in the morning.
Right. So even the functional stuff or beyond that, that, you know, you can have, you can wear really cute jeans just like everybody else or, you know, a really cute top, you know, that, but that is easy to get on and off and that they can adjust the sleeve and the leg lengths and they can, you know, they can, they have different ways that they can adjust it to the individual person. So I love that idea. It's called adaptive apparel.
That is great. You know, in so much of these things, the internet has made this possible in a way because the, you know, back at stores would always say, well, we can't afford to stock all these highly specialized clothes. And, you know, nobody wants to make a big commitment to inventory that is for what they saw as a tiny part of the population. But now because you can shop for things online, it's much easier for people to make these available to smaller segments of the population. That's great. Oh, that's really good.
That's it.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that you bring that one up because I wanted to do just a quick review of a couple of things that were in our Facebook group that that people have posted, suggestions, thoughts, comments. And one was from Danielle, who said she's going to be in Santa Monica in October. I think she's going to Disneyland with her daughter. She has an 8-year-old daughter, but then they're going to come to Santa Monica and she wanted suggestions about things to do. And she made a point of telling us on Facebook that her 8-year-old daughter is in a wheelchair. So did we have suggestions for great fun activities? And people did. That's what I like about this Facebook page. Like people, people had some really good ideas. Like Third Street Promenade. Julie, you know, you've been there.
I love that. That's lively. They always have musicians. They have cute shops.
Yep.
They have nice stalls. They have good restaurants. And it's, you know, it is California living there.
It totally is. And the other one that I put there and then Leanne jumped into with more information on it is the Annenberg Beach House. It's hard to go to the beach if you're in a wheelchair, you know, for obvious reasons. And the Annenberg Beach House, where we used to take our parents a lot, was designed around a lot of the needs for people in wheelchairs. So they have a cement path that goes all the way out to the water's edge, and they have benches out there where you can sit. So instead of just sort of being on the boardwalk but being really far from the actual Pacific Ocean, it's one of the few places on the beach where you can go all the way out there. So we suggested that, Danielle. If anyone has any other suggestions for Danielle and her daughter for October in Southern California, you'll be able to find that post in the Facebook group and make your own suggestions there. But then, Julie, Michelle had something she wanted you to see, just in case you were passing through Buffalo, New York.
Uh-huh.
She posted the notice of their kale eating contest. So knowing how much time you spend monitoring people's consumption of kale, which you do not understand at all.
No, I thought it was over. I thought kale had died. You know, that's what made me sad about that post. It's like, it's still there. It's like poison ivy. No matter what you do, you can't get rid of it. Kale. So I thank that.
All right. And then just two more quickies. Lisa posted a suggestion because I was trying to brand my summer, right? And, you know, I ended up with the hashtag Lizness, not business, but she suggested a good acronym that my summer could be called REACH. And REACH stands for rest, exploration, assessment, connection, and health. So that's actually pretty good.
That was very thoughtful.
Yes.
That was a very thoughtful post. I thought, people are working hard for you, Liz.
Yes. But then under that, I think it was Maria. I can't even read my writing. She suggested, well, how about beach? And beach would be best escape anyone can have. So either reach or beach. I think I'm going for the combo.
I think you should do both. Do
reach
both,
and beach. Please. Reach and beach. That's... Anyway, thank you, everyone, who's made such thoughtful suggestions. People are posting poetry for me, Julie. The pictures they want me to see. It's very helpful. Thank you so much. It's only 7 days, and I've still, like, last night, I did have, like, a work dream. And so I don't know how long it takes to get over your work dreams,
And was it a work dream or a work nightmare?
It was more in the nightmare category. Yeah, but it was just things going poorly at work. You know those kind of stress dreams where you can't get something done? Like one of those. Mm-hmm. It was one of those that was work related. But then I woke up and I was like, phew, I don't have anything to do for the rest of my life.
Just beach it and reach it, Liz.
Reaching and beaching. You can do that in either order, right? Beach and reach. So thanks, everybody. Okay. We do have an announcement about next Tuesday show, right?
It's going to be a special show. We're bringing Leanne back. I know she was taking the whole summer off.
I know she's only been gone a week.
But it's impossible to do the Outlander recap with Liz. That's what Leanne and I decided. Liz is just too far behind. Okay. So
I think that's true. I'm so relieved.
Yes. So me too. So we're going to do that next week. We'll do a super duper Outlander review. Okay.
So next week we're doing the Tuesday show on Tuesday.
Yes.
And we have Leanne and the Outlander review. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, but that's everything we have for today. Anything else you want to add, Julie?
No, that's it, Liz.
What do you have coming up for the rest of the week? Anything? You're back traveling to go see
I'm
friend.
Back. I'm going to be traveling again, Liz, and I will be coming to you from Colorado the next time we talk.
Oh, nice. That would be nice. Let me know if you smell any skunks there in Colorado.
Okay.
Because that's another state where things are legal.
Yeah, we could definitely have some skunk pot in our neck of the woods, Liz. And skunks, too. Yeah.
All right. We are the Satellite Sisters. Please stay connected with us. You can do that Twitter. You can follow us at Sat Sisters. Join our Facebook group where you get to write whatever you want. Like our Facebook page. That's where we post things. And also on, Instagram. Use our hashtag SatSisters, or if you're sending me Instagram advice, hashtag LizNizNotBusiness. So there you have it. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your sister.